Okay, if this is working. As some of you knew, Pam and I grew up in a town just up the road from here named Alvin. And when people find out that I'm from Alvin, oftentimes they'll ask, "Do you know Nolan Ryan?" And the answer to that is really not so straightforward, because I have seen him. I even saw him one time when he was pitching a baseball game, and my dad hit a home run off of him. Of course, my dad was about 40, and Nolan Ryan was about 18, but I watched my dad hit a home run off of him, and my dad went way up on a pedestal in my mind. Just a few minutes later, he came down a notch on his next at-bat. He actually got a single to right field, and as he was running to first base, taking bows to the crowd, the right fielder threw him out at first base. So. And then later, my dad told me he actually had his eyes closed when he hit the home run. So, I mean, you know, it just went down. So I've seen Nolan Ryan in action. I've met him. I've shook his hand. So in a very shallow way, I could say, yeah, I know Nolan Ryan. But actually, I really don't know him all that well. I don't know his children. I don't know what he likes and what he dislikes. I don't know how he behaves. I don't know how he reacts to certain situations. Now, I've heard, you know, that he's a really good guy, and I could probably assume some things and even make up some things about Nolan Ryan. But in actuality, I really don't know him very well. And that's the way it is with getting to know people. You know, if just a moment around somebody is not enough to really know them, and just a few days around somebody is not even enough to know somebody very well. In fact, being around someone for years is oftentimes not enough to really know them. Have you ever heard somebody say, "I was married to that person for so many years and I just don't know him or don't know her"? That's the way it is with Pam and I, actually. She tells me that she tells me that for 25 years we lived together, and she never knew I wanted to be a cowboy when I grew up. So I do want to be a cowboy when I grow up, but this has just been a revelation over the last couple of years. So if you think about my knowledge of Nolan Ryan, what would it take for me to really get to know Nolan Ryan? Well, one thing, I'd have to want to get to know him better. You know, and I could hang around with him. I could follow him around. I could go to his bank in Alvin, and I could sit, you know, in the lobby, and when he came in and out, I could kind of talk to him. I could hang around outside the gate of his ranch every morning when he left. You know, I could be there waving at him and, "Hey, Nolan," you know. I would have to want to get to know Nolan Ryan. But that wouldn't be enough, would it? Because not only would I have to want to know Nolan Ryan better, Nolan Ryan would have to want me to get to know him better, right? It's not just me wanting to know him better. He has to want me to know him better. And it's very much the same way with when it comes to knowing God. In order to know God more fully, we have to want to know God more fully. But also God has to want us to know him more fully. There's really two conditions to getting to know God better. Well, let's take the second condition first. Does God want us to know him better? Well, it's very clear, I think, from the Bible that God wants to reveal himself to us. He wants us to know him better. I was looking in the Bible computer program over the weekend, and 68 times in the Old Testament, the exact phrase, God uses this exact phrase, "so you will know that I am the Lord," 68 times in the Old Testament. He said that when he was talking to Pharaoh with the plagues, "I'm going to do this so that you will know I am the Lord." He used it when he talked to Moses and the Israelites as they wandered through the desert, "I'm going to do this so that you will know I am the Lord. I am going to do this miracle so that you will know that I am the Lord." He used it when he was telling the Israelite nation that they were getting ready to go into exile in Samaria and into Babylon. He told them, "This is going to happen so that you will know I am the Lord." 68 times God says in the Old Testament, I'm going to do this so that you will know I am the Lord. He wants us to know Him. And there's a passage in Jeremiah that I want you to turn to. In Jeremiah chapter 9, the 23rd and the 24th verse. Let's see what God says through the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 9, 23 and 24. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. What does God say? He says the best things in life, the things you ought to boast about, are not wisdom, and it's not strength, and it's not riches. If you want to boast about something that's really important, boast about the fact that you know me and that you understand me. God wants us to know Him. That part of the condition of us getting to know God is pretty clear. God wants us to get to know Him and get to know Him well. So the issue is not does God want this knowledge? It's do we want to know God better? That's the question that we have before us this morning. Do we want to know God better? Now, at first, the answer to that seems pretty obvious. Of course, we want to know God better. But the more I think about it, you know, we're pretty comfortable with our knowledge of God, right? Maybe we don't want to get to know Him better. Because what I'm going to propose to you this morning is that if we get to know God better, things will change. Something will change if we get to know God better and better. And so I want to share with you two things that I think will change if we get to know God better. And as we talk about these, I want you to think about this question for yourself. Do you want to know God better? Because we're going to ask that question at the end when we get through these two changes. So think about this as we go. Do you want to know God better? The first thing that I want to propose to you that will change if we get to know God better is that God becomes greater and we become smaller. God becomes greater and we become smaller. There's an interesting passage, I think Chuck even referred to it in Sunday school this morning, from Genesis chapter 1 in the 27th verse. Chuck quoted to the children this morning that God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. The problem is, we tend to make for ourselves a God that is created in our image. Right? The Scriptures say that we were created in God's image. We tend to, I believe, create a God in our own mind that is created in our own image. Let me give you some examples. Instead of thinking that we possess a shadow of the attributes of God, which is what the Scriptures, I believe, say, we start assigning human characteristics to God. For example, when we think about God is love, I think a lot of times we think about God's love must look like human's love. Imperfect, right? And sometimes we love and sometimes we don't. And sometimes our love is conditional on whoever we're loving doing something for us, right? And I think sometimes we place that kind of human love as our idea of what God's love is. Or when we think about God getting angry, I think about God getting angry and being vengeful and wanting revenge, you know, and stomping around, because that's the way I get angry. And so I think we take some human attributes and we project them onto God. Or even worse, we start stripping God of some of His attributes. For example, we stress His love and we deny His justice. Right? I mean, after all, how can a God who is love condemn some of His creation to an eternity in hell? It just doesn't make sense. So we stress God's love and we deny the fact that God is just. Or we conclude that this idea of God electing some people for salvation just can't be right. Right? I mean, it just can't be right. It just doesn't compute, you know, in our own little minds. So we take away the fact that part of His sovereignty is in saving some and not saving some. Or we conclude that he's not quite as powerful as the Bible says he is. I mean, after all, we see bad things happening to good people all the time. So if he was as powerful as he says he is, you know, he wouldn't let that happen. So we start stripping away some of the attributes of God so that it computes in our own mind. In essence, I think what we do is we dumb down God so that we can understand him. We make God more user-friendly, right? That's what we do. We want him to be more user-friendly. So we dumb him down to our level. There was a man, a Frenchman years ago called Voltaire, who actually was not a Christian. He was an agnostic. He didn't really have any opinions about God. And he said something very wise. He said that God created man in his image, and man returned the favor. That's exactly what we do. We return the favor. The more we learn about God, though, the more we realize how small and impotent our image of God really is, or our concept of God really is. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, a couple of my favorite verses in the Bible, Isaiah 58, verses 8 and 9, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." And then he says, "As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than yours." As high as you can imagine the heavens are from the earth, that's how different God's thoughts are from our thoughts, and his ways different than our ways. So when we try to project our own concepts, you know, of what God ought to be like on God, we're missing the mark as far as the heavens are from the earth. So that's change number one. As we get to know God better, God gets greater and we become much smaller. Okay. The second change that I want to propose to you, that as we get to know God better, God gets to lead more and we get to follow. God gets to lead more and we get to follow. There's an interesting scripture in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. It's kind of a sobering scripture when you first read it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Here's what it says. "We know that we have come to know him." Well, this is good. This, knowing God. "We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him." That was 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Now, when I read that, I say, well, you know, I would have to say, like I would honestly say, I don't know Nolan Ryan. I don't know God as completely as he ought to, because I don't follow his commands all the time, right? And none of us do. We can all stand to learn more about God. But the more we learn about him, that knowledge leads to obedience. And the same author that we just read from, John, wrote in his gospel in the 10th chapter a story about the Good Shepherd. And it says a lot about knowing God. In the gospel of John, the 10th chapter, let's turn there and look at the gospel of John, chapter 10. It's a very familiar passage about the Good Shepherd. And let's read maybe the first five verses or so. Here's what Jesus says in John chapter 10. "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all of his own, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Back during the time this was written, there were sheep pens, and many different shepherds would bring their flocks into the same sheep pen that was guarded overnight by a watchman. And in the morning, the shepherd would come out, and he would call out his sheep by name. He would say, "Helen, Agnes, Chuck, you know, come on out." And the sheep would recognize the shepherd's voice and they would come out. And all the other sheep would stay there. That's what the scriptures say. The sheep knew the shepherd's voice. And he would call out his own by name. Right? That's what the scripture is referring to. So, why do the sheep follow the shepherd? Why would the sheep follow the good shepherd? The first thing the Bible says is that they recognized his voice. Now, a few years ago when we lived in Georgia, Pam and I were teaching the first grade Sunday school class. And before class, we took a tape recorder and we went around to the fathers of the children in our class. And we asked them to just read one line on the tape recorder. And it said, "Come on, it's time to go." That's all we said. And we recorded about, 10 maybe, fathers saying, "Come on, it's time to go." And so in the Sunday school class, we had all the kids around us and we just played the first one. "Come on, it's time to go." And we said, "Who is that?" And 9 of the kids were going, "I don't know." And one little kid would always have a real sheepish look on their face and, they kind of smile. "That's my dad, you know." And we did that 10 times. And every time, one child recognized the voice and the other 9 had no idea who it was. It was amazing. The children knew the father's voice. And they didn't recognize the voice of the stranger. That's what the scripture's saying. When we know God that well, when we know him as our father, we recognize his voice. And we don't recognize the voice of the strangers. So one reason the sheep follow is that they recognize the shepherd's voice. The second reason I think they follow is that he's taken care of them in the past. They followed him before. These sheep have followed that shepherd before, and they know that when they do, everything's okay. Right? In other parts of the scripture, he said he leads me beside the quiet and the still waters, right? And the green pastures. When the sheep have followed this voice before, things were okay. And so they're willing to follow again. They know, and if you put this on our perspective, when we follow God, when we know God well and better, we know that following him is infinitely better than wandering off on our own. Right? Because there's wolves out there. Right? We know, the better we know God, the better we know that when we follow him, it's infinitely better than their other options. So the second change when we get to know God better is that we more willingly follow him and let him do the leading. So back to the question that I asked you earlier, do you want to know God better? And this is where you get the answer. Yes or no? Do you want to get to know God better?
I'm thinking about it.
I see a few heads nodding. Sure, we want to know God better. And I'm glad that's our response, because Chuck and I are planning a series of 10 messages on getting to know God better.
Will you give us a week to get our set hearts?
You're going to have a week to get ready. Huh? You're going to have a week to get ready, because I fully expect that as we go through this study, I'm going to change. My concept of God is going to get bigger and bigger, and my concept of myself is going to get smaller and smaller. And I also fully expect that as we go through this study, that I'm going to be challenged to follow more willingly and to do things than I do today. And some of the things we're going to talk about over the next 10 weeks, we're going to talk about the Trinity, we're going to talk about God's majesty, God's wisdom, God's word, God's loving kindness, God's justice, God's jealousy, God's sacrifice, God's adoption of us, and God's adequacy. And we're going to see if we can learn some more about God than what we know today. I'm actually pretty excited about the study, because I think God's excited about the study. I think God wants us to go after what he says is most important. More important than riches, more important than strength, is to know him. He went to great lengths to help us know Him better. He went to great lengths to help us to get to know Him better. He gave us the Bible. He wrote it down so that we can study it time and time again, because He knew David had to read this stuff, you know, 20 times before I'm going to get it, even an inkling of what He meant. So He wrote it down. He gave us His Son, not only to be our Savior, but to walk this earth as an incredible revelation of God to us, right? We need only to look at Christ to get a better picture of God. And He didn't stop there. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us part of Himself to live inside of all of us, so that if we really want to get to know God, we've got God inside of us. You know, if we can tune in to that voice, we'll get to know even better. God has gone to great lengths to get us to know Him better. And I'm excited about studying that over the next 10 weeks. Would you pray with me? Father, we are so awed by You. And yet, Father, as awed as we are, we confess that we're not awed enough. Father, I pray that as we study You over the next couple of months, that You would explode our vision of You into something more accurate. Father, I pray that You would get aside the limitations of our minds and our own thoughts and fill it with a more accurate picture of You. And Lord, I pray that You would make me more willing to step out and follow You wherever You want. Lord, I know that when I followed You in the past, You have always been faithful, and that You always lead me in places that are far better than where I am today, and that You lead me beside still waters and green pastures, and that when You lead me in places opposite of where I want to go, I can always look back and say You were right. So, Father, I pray that You would help lead us, make us more willing to follow as we learn about You in the coming months. Father, we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.